Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and the word Advent means coming. And of course, we all know who it is that is coming. Jesus, right? Not the other guy. This is exactly what we hear about in our Old Testament reading for today. Jeremiah shares these words. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. You see, when Jeremiah writes these words, things in Israel are not looking very good. In fact, the kingdom has already been separated into two, some sort of dispute over who is the rightful king. And so now we have the northern kingdom, and we also have the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was known as Israel, right? And the southern kingdom was known as Judah. But that wasn't their biggest problem. Their biggest problem is that they had very hostile neighbors, right? Their neighbors were not really that into worshiping the one true God. And really, they didn't care at all about how God had promised this land to the nation of Israel. And so as they sort of start gobbling up all these other nations by military conquest, who's the next on the menu? It's Israel. It's Judah. Right? And so everyone is afraid during Jeremiah's time that this succession of kings through the line of David is going to be broken. And why is that such a big deal? But because God made David a promise. Back in 2 Samuel 2, it went something like this. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And so now, with all of this sort of conquest and all of this sort of military power coming against the nation of Israel, they're wondering, what happens if our enemies come in and carry us off into exile? What happens if we get conquered? The Davidic line of kings comes to an end. And so there are essentially two different kinds of people in Israel. There are the people who said, no, God made us a promise, and we will never be conquered. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we say. We're God's people, and that's that. And then there's another group of people that says, what if we're not God's chosen people anymore? And in the same line, if God breaks his promise, can we really trust him? This is what prompts Jeremiah to speak. This message concerning the kingdom, because his promise through the scriptures today is that this Davidic line, even though it might cease for a time and there might not be a king from the line of David, that God will restore it. From the death of what is the Davidic family tree, it says that there will be a righteous branch, right? Something will spring up from David, even if Israel is conquered. And in those days, all God's people will be saved. Now, this is, of course, where we make it to the crux of any Old Testament text, right? Jeremiah has written this probably about 3,000 years ago. And so at a certain point, we say, who cares? It's all in the past, right? We all know Israel was eventually conquered and sent off into exile, and the Davidic line did stop for, I mean, really, as far as earthly measures are concerned, it stopped forever. And so we have to ask ourselves a question when we come to any Old Testament text, and that is, why does this matter? Why does it have any bearing on our lives today? Nations rise and fall. Leaders come and go. But the truth is that these words from Jeremiah speak to our context much more than we ever realize. Because you are Israel. Maybe not the Israel from back then, but you are the new Israel of God today. And the truth is that we need to hear this in the church. Because God allowed this to happen. I mean, that's the truth. God's wrath is real. Even now, his wrath is real. You know, why did God even ordain that Israel's enemies would come in and carry them off? Why would he even want that to happen? And it's because they despised God's word. God is in the business of discipline, even if we don't like to think about it. He helps his people remember him. And so what happened was Israel, what they were doing, they were worshiping false gods. They were treating God's promises and his word as if there were very little things in their life. Most everyone had forgotten the simple truth is that the one true God, the Lord, who had given them the Ten Commandments and guided them through their entire life, was God. That's what they forgot. That God was God and no one and nothing else is. And our world is much like that. Think about it. The truth of God's word is being lost in the voices of the world. You know, more and more people disregard the word of God every single day. More and more people see no need to be in the presence of Jesus, especially as he comes to us through word and sacrament in the church. You know, we hear it all the time that I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I already know Jesus saved me. The question is, do you want to be where Jesus is? Because he's in the church. Look around. Somebody just told me last week that this church used to be packed. The pews down here, the pews up there, all of them were filled. Look around you. Less and less people care about God's word. This is the truth. This is a reality for us in 2018. We're just like Israel in Jeremiah's day. More and more people keep forgetting, leaving the truth behind. Instead, seeking after false beliefs, finding what their itching ears want to hear. And they're forgetting one simple thing, that God is God, and no one and nothing else is. My friends, I pray constantly that the God of the universe would protect our little Christian community from the false ideas that the world and Satan are trying to infiltrate our community with. And I encourage you to do the same. Because honestly, as you look back to the Israel of Jeremiah's day, we know what happens when the word of God is rejected. He sends his discipline. He sends his wrath. He sends his chastening. That way, people will remember who he is. Because eventually, God allows people to experience exactly what they want. Life without him. Without his providence, without his protection, without his grace and mercy. And this is precisely why the words of Jeremiah are for you. You faithful who still are in the church, you faithful who still do come into Jesus' presence, this is why Jeremiah wrote, is because these words are all about what God does for you in Jesus. You know, as Israel's worried about this, you know, military conquest coming in, where do they put their hope? It's in the righteous branch that Jeremiah promises is going to come. And we all know from 2018, living 2,000 years after Jesus, that it's Jesus. We know the whole story. Jesus is the righteous branch who springs from David's line, and he becomes the king. The king for you. That way he can execute justice and righteousness. They hoped in the coming Messiah. We hope in the Messiah who has already come for you. The same is true for both of us. We might not have a military conquest coming in after us, but we are attacked. We're attacked constantly by all of these incoming false beliefs and false ideas and Satan himself trying to tear our faith down. And what has God promised? Our hope is in Jesus. No matter what. Across the board. And so even if you look around in the church and the world looks much different than it did when you were growing up, you're in good company. Now, I'm a relatively young man, but to be honest, the world looks much different than it did when I was growing up. The world is ever going to change. The world is ever going to bring us chaos and uncertainty and fear. But where do we look for our hope? Jesus Christ, the righteous branch to spring up for David. Because there is one unchangeable truth in the midst of a world that is always changing. And it's God's promise. You remember what the Israelites were fearing when that conquest was coming in, and they wondered, what happens if God breaks his promise? What happens if we get conquered? What happens if the line of David gets broken off? Nothing. God will keep his promise. He always does. That's part of what makes him God, is he never breaks a promise ever. He just fulfills them in his own way and in his own time. So my friends, in the midst of our world, Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your king, and his throne looks unlike any throne we've ever seen before. It's made of two pieces of wood that are crossed together. Jesus' throne is the throne from which he bleeds and dies. Jesus comes as a king to execute righteousness and justice for you. Because the truth is that as much as we might not like to admit it, we are sometimes influenced by the world. Our thoughts, our ideas, sometimes we succumb to all of the voices that are screaming at us. Which, you know, granted, the Lord leads us to repentance and back into faith, which is spectacular. But the truth is that somebody has to pay for that sin. Somebody has to pay for false belief. Someone has to pay for your sin and my sin. This is what righteousness is. If God doesn't punish evil, he is not a righteous and just God. And so Jesus comes to pay the price for you. He steps forward to take all of your punishments that you don't have to. Not now, not ever. Jesus has already endured all of it on the cross, and what's better is that he's overcome all of our enemies. You worried about what might happen to the church in the future? You worried what might happen in your own life in the future? I can make you a promise that Jesus promises will be there. Jesus will always be there because he's shown that he's always been there. He has never broken a promise. You know, he makes a lot of promises in the Old Testament. And so far, he has broken zero of them. And so why would we think that he would start to operate any differently now? You are God's people today. You are the new Israel who have received Jesus' salvation. You are the people he made a promise to in your baptism. He said, you know what? Jesus will be your righteousness. And in baptism, he is. In the preached word, he tells us that Jesus is your righteousness. And even as you hear these words and believe them, he is. Jesus promised that in the supper, he would be your righteousness. And he is. For in these days, you are being saved. In these days, you are forgiven. Because you dwell in Jesus Christ. Placing our hope in him, there is nothing to fear. But my friends, today is the first Sunday in Advent. So in the midst of your chaotic and uncertain lives, when you might not be sure what is coming in the future, know that Jesus is your righteousness, who has come and is coming again to fulfill all the promises he made for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.